Conquer Nation, what's up? It has been way too long, and that is 100% my fault. I will own every second of that. We took a trip this summer, and that was a little bit of a break. I've been pretty lazy on this, honestly, so that's been a little bit of a break. But we're getting back into it. We're going to start rolling again. I got some really good guests lined up, and I got a really fun series that we're going to do this fall. About cyclocross. So I like to try new stuff. And I did cyclocross, handful of years ago. I did two or three races and it was fun, but I just never really got into it. I just kind of, jumped in on some of the practice races and then I did a couple of events, but really had no idea what I'm doing. But this year, we're going to go full blast on it. And when I mean full blast, I'm going to do all the races that are convenient for me to do. I'm not getting hardcore into it, but I'm actually got a coach that's given me a training plan for cyclocross, and that is a totally different beast. I'm not used to the intervals and it looks like an algebra equation. Whenever I write my workouts out, it's like so many numbers and intervals and everything. It's crazy. And they're brutal. It's so different than what I've done in the past. So it's fun. It's a new adventure. And I am going to interview a lot of people about cyclocross this fall because cross is coming. That's what they say. So I hear. So we're going to learn a little bit about the sport, how to train, equipment, things like that. And today's episode is jumping into the first installment of this series about cross is coming, and it is with Tony Stewart of the Bike Lab. And we sit down, we talk about equipment, talk about some basics, some basic bike setup and fitting, how that's different than your road bike and your triathlon bike and mountain bike. We talk about tire pressure, tire size, gearing, all those good things. So this one just kind of kicks us off, but we will have some good installments in the future about training and how that differs from normal endurance training. And we're going to also jump in on some technique help with other coaches. And we're just kind of dig in. And you're going to learn right along with me. And I'll keep you posted on my, I'm not going to say victories. We'll just say results, maybe. Completion of events, maybe the best way to put it. But it's going to be fun. It's a new adventure. So why not? So I'm going to take you along for the ride. And hopefully we can all learn a little something. But I do have some really exciting guests outside of the cyclocross world lined up. I think you will love them. They have some great things and great stories to share. And it'll be a really fun ride this fall. So stick with us. I have a really, really fun, exciting announcement that hopefully we'll know more of in the next couple of weeks. So we're recording this at the end of August 2018. So hopefully by the first or second week of September, I can kind of give a little bit more details on it. And I think for our endurance athletes that are out there that are listening to this, that want to have some up their game in the off season, I think you're really going to like what we're putting together. So I'm putting it together with some really smart coaches, and it's going to be exciting. And I think it'll help take everybody's fitness to the next level and your racing next season to the next level. So stay tuned for that. I'll give you more details as I get them and as I know more. But it's going to be really good. And I think everybody's going to love it. And so I think that in the showbiz world, they call a teaser, if you will. But anyways, enough rambling. Enjoy the episode with Tony. Thank you so much for coming back and sticking around through my little break that I took. But we got some exciting things coming. Thanks, Conquer. All right, Tony, we are recording, and we do have this fancy new equipment.
It's very fancy.
It's so fancy.
You've done a good job getting a very mobile podcast setup. I'm jealous.
Hopefully the sound quality is much better. It's the one. Yeah.
The one.
The Zoom H1.
I'm trying to use a radio voice.
Ooh, that sounds
good.
Well,
the last mic you had, mm-hmm. I kept hitting the table.
Yeah, this will hopefully eliminate
the table slap.
The table slapping.
Yeah, I can still do it for emphasis with you to emotionally impress you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But it won't be.
You won't be able to hear.
Everybody in their car won't get blown out the back.
No, there'll be no broken windows.
Right. And now every time I interview someone, I'm like, don't touch the table.
We learned that lesson.
Back up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever you do. So hopefully this will help our sound quality issues and it will continue to get better, because that's kind of the number one thing that we have issues with. So hopefully this will be a good step in the right direction.
There we go.
And so we are kicking off cross season.
We are.
Cross is here.
Cross is here. For some people, it's always here.
It's true.
For the rest of us, it's just starting to start.
It's just starting to start.
It's just starting to start.
I
I've done cross a handful of times.
Mm-hmm. It's a little different than triathlon.
It's a little different. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot more painful in a different yeah. way.
Uh-huh.
And so I did cross, I guess it's probably been 4 years ago, maybe, roughly. Mm-hmm. And I did 2 or 3 races. And I always did the practice races, which mm-hmm. was super fun. I yeah. liked that. I did a maybe like
because you could quit when you wanted.
Yeah. So when it sucked, I'd just stop and
talk. You weren't stuck with like 35 minutes of agony.
Of misery. Yeah. Yeah. And then whenever we did, I did like 3 races, and the next year I came out and was going to do it, and I did the first one, and it was started kind of getting like not as fun because it was kind of clicky, and I was like, I'm out on this.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm ready to jump back in, and it's more cool. of the laid back vibe again.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited, but I'm coming at this as a total novice. And mm-hmm. so I want to do.
Well, I've seen you ride, so I know.
Yeah, it's not pretty. Yeah, it's triathlete in full force.
It is.
And so jumping on and off the bike is I'm okay with that.
Okay, that is really for a lot of people. We're all good at learning how to ride our bike in a different way.
Let's talk about this first.
Okay.
What is cyclocross? For people that don't know or are very unfamiliar, know the. Mm-hmm. roughly what it is. How would you explain it? Because you were really hot and heavy in cyclocross there for a short time.
Yeah, and I actually ran the series for mm-hmm. Oklahoma for a few years too. It is, if you're a mountain biker, it's short track.
Okay.
It's a short track XC event. So it takes you 5 to 7 minutes to go through the course. It's all marked off, but it runs like a crit, where criteriums are from 30 to 60 minutes, and what they're really paying attention to is how long is it taking the lead group to take a lap. They measure off of that, and then once they feel like they've established that from a lap or two, they give you laps to go, and then you finish on laps to go. So Cat 5s are going to race for about 30 minutes,
okay.
and they go no longer at any point, even at the world level, than 60 minutes.
Okay.
So the 30 to 60 minute high intensity short in the endurance world
right.
circuit, cyclocross is not going to be as technical as mountain bike. And so you're going to be in parks, you're going to have a lot of off camber, a lot of 180 degree turns. You're going to have steep uphill and downhills where you may can ride or run. So knowing how to hop off the bike, suitcase, pick it up, and then hop back on is the most awkward skill to learn because you typically don't have to do that in short track mountain bike. The whole point in mountain biking is to try to keep you on the bike the whole time.
Right.
And the mountain biker's pride will guarantee they try to do that even
right.
if it's worse than running.
No touchdown. You got to ride it.
Right.
Gotta
so it's
clear
very,
it.
I would say cyclocross is short circuit, all off-road, but less technical because it's cross bikes. They don't have suspension. They got drop bars. It's like a road bike with big knobby tires on it. And it is like heavy torque sprints over unders.
Okay.
Heavy torque over unders for a roadie or a triathlete.
And then you jump off your bike, you carry it over obstacles, and you run
for
up hills.
Steps.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you run up some hills
you
sometimes and jump
mm-hmm.
back on and go again. And it is real intense.
Well,
on
because,
the effort.
Well, for, you know, we're all endurance athletes, and so even when we ride through the week, most of us ride for 90 minutes. So the event's only 30, and we all pinned a number on. Then we're going to go
as hard as you can.
All in, right? As much as you can. But cyclocross, because it's off-road and because it's technical, is going to sabotage your speed every single time. So
mind cluster.
So in criterium racing, you'll go through a corner, and you'll slow down, then they'll jump out, but you're already high speed, you're high cadence. So even though you're applying a lot of sharp force, it's not nearly as heavy torqued. In cyclocross, you're going to go from 12 to 15 miles an hour off-road, which is pretty fast,
mm-hmm.
down to 2.
Right.
Through a hard off-camber turn, and then you're going to have to step on it, heavy torque, back and get on it again.
And it's tough. It's tough mentally to be riding as hard as you possibly can and look over and you're just like going like 12.
And so efficiency matters a lot because of all the torque that's being applied
right.
because of how much speed disparity there's going to be throughout the event.
Yeah.
And so it's most cyclists that have been riding anything road, their core is wildly underdeveloped for cross.
Right.
And so a lot of lower back pain, a lot of fits are off. And equipment can be, it's a very equipment heavy sport at the top end, but it doesn't have to be as you begin.
So that's what I want to talk about today is equipment. So
mm-hmm.
this is going to be a full series of podcasts that we do and episodes that we do.
Yeah.
Today I want us to start with the basics and let's talk mm-hmm. about the bike, the setup, how it's you can kind of maximize that. So someone getting into the sport, you will see a random few like on the mountain bike just to kind of get going.
Mm-hmm. And you're allowed to race on a mountain bike up through the Cat 3 ranks. And
okay.
after you upgrade past Cat 3, it has to be on a regular cyclocross bike, which it looks like a drop bar road bike with a rigid fork and wider tires.
And the difference between, because some people are going to have maybe a gravel bike, or they've heard about gravel and cyclocross mm-hmm. and a road bike, like mm-hmm. they look, from the layman, they look similar. Mm-hmm. So what makes a cyclocross bike a cyclocross bike?
Let's explain a gravel bike real quick,
okay.
because that's a newer category.
Right.
And initially, cross bikes were the gravel bikes.
That's what I use. I use my cross bike for gravel.
And it's not that cross bikes are bad at gravel.
Right. It's just different.
Current day gravel bikes are basically adventure touring bikes. And a touring bike has a longer wheelbase and a much lower bottom bracket for stability, especially if you pack. It's not trying to be as responsive as it is smooth and balanced for long rides and to mitigate any roughness you might feel. So it's not trying to be heavy, but it's trying to be very practical and have a lot of options available. Now that they've gotten gravel solidified like that, it makes a cross bike even more a cross bike. So it was Specialized and Cannondale and Trek and others that are out there. Now they have these gravel platforms coming out. They've been able to get even more specific on what a cross bike needs to be,
okay.
which is a narrower rear triangle. Because of all the 180 degree turns you've got to do, mm-hmm. you got to have a really agile bike. And the fact that you've got to come out of every turn and push a lot of torque means you need as responsive a bike as possible. So they have less bottom bracket drop. And bottom bracket drop is the measurement from the two axles while level down to where the bottom brackets or the crank's center is.
Okay.
The lower that is, the better center of gravity. But in cyclocross, with all the tight turns, and the pedaling you have to do, and things you might even have to hop, that means you're gonna pedal strike quite a bit.
Right.
So it's like a crit bike almost.
Right.
They have less drop, so the bottom bracket is further away from the ground.
Right.
So you can pedal through more corners and hop more things and not have your crank potentially hit them. So it's very event specific, it's very light, it's very responsive. It's not gonna ride as smooth as a gravel bike because mm-hmm. it's not trying to be smooth, it's trying to be fast.
Gotcha.
And agile.
Gotcha.
That's gonna be your primary differences between cross bike and a gravel bike.
Okay, let's talk gearing real quick. Mm-hmm. So on a road bike, you know, you have your standard gear is usually mm-hmm. on the back, it's a 1225 or your cassette. On the front, they have a standard and a compact. Mm-hmm. I see a lot more one bys in the cross world, mm-hmm. And one by is becoming more popular on the road, and just depending. And in the mountain bike scene, one by on the front is where it is most of the time, mm-hmm. Unless you really go into the mountains and do real mountain biking. But around Oklahoma, one by is predominantly what we see. So is the gearing, is it similar on the front end? Is it similar to a compact, or is it even smaller than that?
So if you're in Shimano just launched a one by system finally for cross.
Okay.
But typically with the regular two by, so mm-hmm. two in the front, 11 in the back, the standard cyclocross gearing was 46-36.
Okay.
So it wasn't as easy as a 34 in the compact, but it wasn't as big. It was a tighter cluster.
Right.
In one by, you're kind of splitting the difference. So if you're 2x, it's pretty much 46-36, 11 speed in the back. You could do like 11-28.
And the 46-36 that we're talking about is the amount of teeth on
the front chain rings.
On the front chain rings. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the back at the time that was still standard, 11-28 was what you'd ride in the back. But derailleurs are getting longer and longer arms that they can use. So if you're getting a modern day regular road Altegra group, you'd have 46-36 and you could go to 11-34 in the back if you wanted to.
Okay.
What 1x came through was mountain biking, cutting weight and getting rid of front derailleur, front chainring drops.
Yeah.
Heavy torque pedaling shifts really poorly. So when you're pedaling slower with a lot of force, you don't have the quick speed for the chain to quickly switch from one side to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So the major malfunctions in pedaling always happen in front derailleur shifts. So they created a high tension rear derailleur that
keeps a lot of tension on the chain.
Keeps a ton of tension on the chain.
Right.
So you take the front derailleur off and you get 11 to 12 options in the back, and all of a sudden you're covering the same spread. When you have heavy torque pedaling slower, that means variety and cadence doesn't feel nearly as negative as if you're on the road trying to have that perfect 90 cadence setup.
Right.
So the big jumps don't seem to affect you nearly as much.
Okay.
That's where it's bled over into cyclocross the last 3 or 4 years with SRAM. SRAM's
right.
owned that. SRAM Force and SRAM Rival have been fantastic group sets for cyclocross.
Okay.
Most people who are beginners should probably start with a 40 front chainring.
Okay.
And then like an 1132 or an 1134 in the back.
Okay.
That will cover the basis for, I mean, if you need something better than the 4034, it's probably a run-up.
Gotcha. Yep.
Under racing conditions.
Gotcha.
right? So if you're just easy riding, it might be something different. And there are bigger ranges in the back. I think 1140.
Oof, that's
you
big.
Can go to before you need a specific gear shift in your wheel setup. Okay. But that really has become the standard for a lot of it. Now, I say that. I rode Altegra 6800 Dubai when I was racing. I just never went to this. I was in the 46 the whole time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so that's the way mine is set up. I have a 2x on the front just because that's what it came with. Mm-hmm. And then the rear, I need to look at what my gearing is because I don't even have a clue. It's just
if it's older, I almost guarantee it's 1128.
That's probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the 3628 is your easiest gear. And as you do gear ratio hunts on 3628 and you look at 4034, you're getting around the same kind of ratio.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So now let's talk tires real quick.
Mm-hmm. Which is the number one thing in cross.
Is tires. Your tire setup.
It's the number one thing to figure out for yourself.
So what is it that we need to figure out? Like, what are the main keys? Clearly, tire pressure is one, the size of the tire, the tread on the tire. But for someone like me, I am not changing out my tires every race.
Right.
I'm going to be a Cat 5 dude, and I'm racing what I brought. Mm-hmm. Like, and so that's just going to be the way it is.
Right.
So what are some standards that clearly when you get to the pointy end of the stick with these guys that are like, you know, course specific, condition specific, that things change there quite a bit.
So cyclocross, because it doesn't have suspension built into the bike, means all the suspension's in the tires.
Okay.
So tires are important in mountain biking, but a full suspension mountain bike also has full suspension.
Right.
That can be tuned. So you're able to mitigate how the road is rough with your suspension and your tire selection. So it doesn't become nearly as important. It's important, not nearly as important, what tires you're running on mountain bike versus cyclocross.
Okay.
In cyclocross, tires are all your suspension.
Right.
The frame helps a little, but not the contact point. It's also all your grip. So if you're going through a rough turn, your ability to feel like you have good balance and good grip has to do with your tread selection and your tire pressure.
Right.
The tire platform that gives you the most options is going to be tubular.
Okay.
It's also the most expensive option.
Right.
And the most committed because you have to have multiple wheel sets. So the guys that are really committed and have done a phenomenal job in racing, like the Sound Pony team with Lasley and the Drummonds and all that,
right.
They will have multiple wheel sets glued up with multiple tires, and they'll go pre-ride and see which front to rear selection they want and they just have it dialed.
Right.
Cat 5s, there's no way to put that much money into it.
Right.
So tubeless is a fantastic way to go. It's a smaller investment. It mitigates. We have a lot of goat heads in our racing here in Oklahoma, just the sand thorns that you have out there.
Right.
So if you don't have sealant in your tires and one way or the other, you will get a flat. It is guaranteed.
Right.
So you got to have sealant in there no matter what you do. Tubeless allows you to run that lower pressure. That gives your tires more of a chance to be both suspension and traction.
Mm-hmm.
And a more of a tubular-like feel.
Mm-hmm.
With the clincher convenience.
So, since we brought up tire pressure, I know it's so different depending on the conditions of the course and the weight of the rider
and the
size of the tire, all those things. So, let's just go basic and just say we're running a tubeless setup. Somebody weighs 160, 170 pounds, somewhere in that range. So, I think that's probably where most riders are, average rider would be.
Yeah.
What would you say on tire size for a standard or and tire pressure? Would
so
be a good rule
changed,
of thumb.
They changed based upon weight of the rider. It's a more intricate system. They may go back
right.
once. I haven't checked it recently. Based on weight of rider, you had different widths you could go to. So if you weighed more, you could ride a 35 or a 38.
Oh, okay.
But the standard for a long time has been 33.
Okay.
And that's just the standard.
Right.
I would suggest the 33 because there's so much time you're spending not cornering that you have extra rolling resistance. And if you get the pressure right and you work on your skills, then getting through the corner at speed is very possible. And then you're not dragging nearly as much tread around, especially in Oklahoma cyclocross.
Right.
It's like dirt crit or grass crit. So I don't think you need to have super heavy knob tires in Oklahoma. And I think going wider ends up feeling like more weight.
Gotcha.
So I think the 33 really is the ideal setup for our. Now, if we were in the Pacific Northwest and I could put a 38 with some mud tread on there because half my races it's raining.
Yep.
then it would be a different scenario. But around here, you don't need skin suits really because it's so hot, you want to wear your summer kit stuff.
Right. What do you say on tire pressure? Is a rule of thumb to start with your experimentation?
So when a lot of people are practicing in the week, mm-hmm. they're practicing hopping on and off the bike. They're going to Bluff or Draper and riding on mountain bike trails.
Right.
So what I'll first say is a training pressure, go around 40.
Okay.
It's going to be more than you need for competition, but it's going to mitigate bottoming out on bumps and causing a problem.
Right.
After that, you got to find your pressure below 40.
Okay.
The more skilled you are, the more you can feel that in-between pressure, meaning you're going into a corner, you feel it deflecting, but it's not like burping out or rolling away from you.
Right.
You feel that connection. For me, it was low 30s, and I was racing at 185.
Oh, okay.
So for someone who's 160, 170, as they learn it, I would say, let's start around 30.
I would not have thought to go that low. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking in the 35 range, so.
And tubulars, guys that are 150 to 160 will ride in the 20s.
Oh, okay.
Guys like Jeremy Powers, I've seen him ride in like 22 to 18.
Oof.
But they're glued on.
Right.
So it just depends on the course, because once you realize the tire is all your suspension, as well as all your grip,
mm-hmm.
then you start to realize, okay, some guys go as low as they can.
Right.
But it depends on style. A rider like Brandon Milot grew up dirt jumping and BMX riding, which means he pushes a lot of control in how he corners through the handlebar.
Mm-hmm.
That pump and flow kind of feel.
Right.
Which is a great way to get through a corner, but you put a lot more boost into your turns and you have a little more equalized pressure. Roadies tend to lean back a bunch. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of pressure on the rear tire and none on the front.
Right.
Skilled riders learn to, whichever way they come from, to balance between those pressures. But someone like Brandon would run 30 no matter what.
Gotcha. Right?
He runs 30 on his mountain bike. He might run a little lower on cross bike. But because he can push so hard and not break through a corner, he has to take that into account. So as you're first starting, you're very unlikely to boost into a corner too fast and rip it.
Right.
But you might not get the angle quite right, and you don't want to fold a tire over.
Right.
So I think if you're set up tubeless, starting around at the weight you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
30 to 35 for competition is great. And if you start feeling it's too rough,
adjust.
Every number you could find at 32 isn't right and 31 is. Mm-hmm. It gets real specific as you start to find out your own rhythm.
Okay. And then I think the final thing to touch on, now that we've kind of covered the basics on the bike,
mm-hmm.
is let's talk about your fit setup.
Mm-hmm.
Because, a lot of people will have a bike, they're like, oh yeah, I went and rode, I have one bike and it's my cross bike / gravel bike,
mm-hmm.
and I just ride it for everything. Mm-hmm. Or I have this bike and I just slap a different set of tires or wheels on it for this. Or I have my mountain bike and I want to take it out for cross. But in mountain biking, I'm not jumping on and off my bike all the time, crossing bears and stuff.
Yeah.
So is there a difference in fit between your cross and road or mountain bike? Like, is there a difference in what people need to take into account?
Between cross and road, yes.
Okay.
Because you ride differently.
Okay.
Between cross and a hardtail mountain bike, no.
Okay.
Because you ride similar.
Okay.
Off-road riding is much lower cadence, much heavier torque, and your pressure on the pedal has a lot to do with your balance as you roll.
Okay.
Low torque pedaling is lower heel pedaling. You're flattening your foot out more. You're getting the glute involved, you're getting the low back involved, you're getting the quad involved.
Mm-hmm.
When you're pushing really heavy like that, it's like doing a step-up lunge.
Okay.
When you're on the road, it doesn't mean that you won't have climbs, you might accentuate the heel a little bit more, but you're still doing it at 70 or 80 cadence.
Okay.
If you're doing a cross race and averaging 80, 85 cadence, you're bouncing. You have to be lower cadence just for the bumpy roads and hovering over the hand.
Does that happen naturally, or is that something that you consciously work on, is having a lower cadence?
I guarantee your cadence won't be 90 on a cross race.
It's just naturally
because
happens.
You have to use the pedal and the pressure on the pedal to balance. Like if you're going straight in a long haul straight area, but it's super bumpy, you have to load up the pedal so that as you're pedaling, you can also hover on your seat.
Okay.
So the bike and the tire suspension can do what it does underneath you while you continue to propel yourself forward.
Okay.
So it's pedaling and hovering.
So is your seat set up just a little bit lower than it would be on the
road?
A
little lower, okay. And a little more forward. As soon as the heel drops, the knee pulls back from its knee over position with the pedal spindle if it's your road fit.
Okay.
And it shortens the leg.
Okay.
Right? So if your heel's down, you have a shorter leg.
Right.
So if you have a road fit, I usually recommend just moving the seat down 5 millimeters.
Okay.
Because the seat posts on an angle.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings it down and forward 5 mils.
Right.
Now, if you go and gravel ride, And gravel riding has a similar cadence to road riding.
Right.
Your gravel position should be similar to your road, but not similar to your cross or your hardtail mountain bike. And I differentiate that because full suspension mountain bike just has a bigger float scale to it, so it's hard to match that fit to anything else.
Right.
That's probably the most unique fit out of them all.
Okay. So you just, I mean, if someone clearly going and getting fit by a professional, there's no better way to do it than that.
Right.
If they're wanting to, like, they're just saying, hey, I'm doing this on a low budget because I have no idea if I even want to do this, and they want to jump in on a practice ride.
There's two things to do.
Okay.
Get your road shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Get a dry erase board marker.
Okay.
See where your big toe is at, and see where the middle of your cleat is at.
Okay.
Go to your mountain bike shoes, put the shoe on, put a dot where your big toe goes, and then just align the center of that cleat at the same distance. So if it's 5 mils back from where your big toe is, or 5 mils forward, whatever it is, because
mm-hmm.
changing shoes, people just throw cleats on
and move on.
Right, you can have 2 centimeters difference in perceived seat height just with your cleats being in a different place.
Right.
So the big toe, the first metatarsal,
right,
that inward point, and then find what you believe to be the center of the cleat for both of them, and just make sure that distance is similar. You don't have to be super scientific.
Right.
Just make sure they're similar, and then take your road fit, put it on the cross bike, exact, and then lower it 5 mils.
And that's a great starting point.
I mean, it's going to help with lower back pain is the first thing everyone experiences when they jump into cross.
Yeah.
So we say that problem is 10, a level, it's like we have 10 things to fix there. The seat we just talked about is 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
The other 8 is lifting heavy during the summer.
Right.
Because you don't ever lift heavy on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
Your body's not used to pedaling at 40 cadence out of a corner with maximum force.
Right.
It's used to high cadence, cardiovascular.
Right.
The reason the low back hurts is because the core can't support single leg push as hard as possible
because
mm-hmm. you never do it.
Right. Yeah, that's not the, and cyclists, triathletes are a little bit more because they do a little bit more wear and tear with the running and stuff like that. But endurance athletes as a whole are not strength people. But it's getting there.
They're not heavy force people.
Not heavy force people.
So if you're a single speed mountain biker, you're fine.
Yeah.
Dez and Corey White, good to go.
Right.
Because they're already used to pushing really hard through a corner.
Right.
But if you're not used to that and you go to cross and your back's killing you,
mm-hmm.
most of the problem is your core is not strong enough for what you're biomechanically doing differently. It's not just riding a bike.
Right. Yeah.
When you respond to a race, you don't put it in your biggest gear and then slam after it, but you keep it in a high cadence.
Right.
And in cross, a lot of times you have to keep it low cadence because it's the right gearing for the right situation to get through the smoothest.
Mm-hmm.
But you have all this heavy load pedaling that's destroying your back.
Cool. I think we've covered the absolute basics on the setup there. I think in the future episodes we need to cover some basic workout stuff. Maybe some different gear that's involved in it. We can get more specific on workouts, on nutrition, on bike setup, and hopefully we can get some questions from some people to answer their cross stuff with that coming up, because we're about less than 2 months out starting in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And the
thing I will say too, a lot of roadies have a lot of fitness come out and think they're going to be in the same place.
Not even close.
And in a road race, you never hit the ground. Well, you shouldn't. In crits, we don't want to. It's a big mistake. It's a big mistake if you hit the ground in road.
Right.
It is not a big mistake if you hit the ground in cross.
Right.
Every level, even the world championship level.
Yeah, they
sometimes
wreck every race.
They slide in sideways, they grab the handlebar, they keep running, and they jump back on.
Mm-hmm.
There is a comical rough and tumble element to cyclocross that you have to embrace, where everyone looks a little silly and you can't let a little mistake make you feel like you just want to quit.
Yeah.
You're going to slide out. You're going to fall down. You're going to do it at 4 miles an hour. I've rolled tubulars and endoed before and just kind of got up laughing and kept going, because it's just the nature of the sport is you're pushing the limits on a bike with no suspension off-road.
Right. And the thing is, that's the unique thing about cyclocross out of any sport I've ever seen. Everyone there that is watching is there to heckle and screw with you and give you crap.
And none better than Mr. Troy Cowan.
Troy's solid. Troy is solid.
I mean, he's the standard.
Uh-huh. And it's all across the board. It doesn't matter if you're good or if you're in first or in last, you will get heckled. And it doesn't matter if everyone knows you or no one knows your name, you are going to get heckled at some point throughout.
Because it's all a little ridiculous.
100%. But it's the only cycling part or that... sport that I've been in part of that it's okay and people embrace that we're a bunch of middle-aged people out there in spandex with helmets on playing like little kids.
Even if you're going super hardcore, you're still trying to ride your bike through a sand pit as fast as you can.
Right.
And you might endo. Uh-huh. Like, there's no guarantees.
Right.
So you work on the skills, but there's a little bit of a fun excitement to right. the play side of cyclocross that
and that's
is,
what
is
I'm
prevalent.
For. Yes.
There more than any other discipline.
It is the most relaxed, fun endurance / cycling thing that I've been a part of when it's fully embraced. Mm-hmm. And I wish more of the sports would let go and relax and enjoy the stupidity of that we are all doing a fun sport.
Yeah.
And it's not our
well,
paycheck.
But part of it too, like in a mountain bike race, if you slide out, you can get really hurt.
Yeah.
Like there's trees, there's rocks, it's really technical.
Uh-huh.
In a road race, if you slide out, you hurt somebody else. You're taking someone
right.
out, you're hurting your bike. Cyclocross is that rare little middle spot that's off-road enough that we're gonna mess up.
Right.
But not so fast and not a group ride that it really causes a problem for somebody else. So there is, you know, Rubens racing, right? You're still gonna be elbow to elbow, you're gonna start out fast. But you're also gonna have times where you kind of fall down, and if you let that defeat you, then you're missing the point. It's like, you gotta win with the defeats.
Yes.
You gotta win with the mess ups.
And I want people, because I'm embracing it this year, I'm going to suck and I'm going to laugh and I'm going to enjoy it just like I did with my mountain biking experiment.
Uh-huh.
That this year for me has been, and last year has been all about fun and trying new adventures mm-hmm. and doing that. And I'm going to
continue. You should just wear jorts at every race.
I'm in. But the problem is I can't get on and off the bike without them catching. But we can figure that out.
You just need to shorten them up real high.
Just tighten them up only in the crotch area. I might be in for that.
Well, I mean, you won't be in for that after the ride.
Well, maybe I will. but it's, I think people need to, worst case scenario, come out and watch a race, enjoy the environment,
mm-hmm.
bring your dogs out, bring your beer, and hang out and enjoy it. And I think they kick off, I think the practice races, I'm assuming, will kick off in September at some point. I don't know.
Well, we've had a lot of our OKC ambassadors move to Tulsa or Colorado.
Okay.
So the Drummonds are up in Tulsa now, and Paul Watkins lives in Colorado now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I know Sheridan and Celestial have had
some last year.
Tuesday or Wednesday night thing they've been doing. So they'll probably be the leaders for that this year in Oklahoma City over in the park in front of Bluff Creek. I haven't seen dates or anything put out yet.
Okay. And try to keep that posted. And then
we'll keep that posted,
And the first race, I think, that I saw is October 6th or somewhere around there. 1st of October.
In Tulsa.
Yeah. It's the first race here in Oklahoma. So, but we will talk more about cyclocross adventures over the next few weeks.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thanks.